Hello, and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson, and today my co-host is Brian Bosick. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm excited today that we get to talk a little bit about generations in the workplace and how they all work together.
Yeah, this is a good topic. I'm probably sound like a broken record because I think I say that every time, but we're always excited about the topics we're bringing all of you. And yeah, today is fun because we're gonna kind of look at what the differences might be within people from different generations and how they're working together in one environment. But we also might find some similarities as well. So to kind of tackle this, we wanted to have some representation across at least most of these generations. So we did some informal interviews just to see how the representatives from each generation would respond.
Yeah, excellent. And, you know, just as a quick question, Megan, if you had to like just guess, like how many generations do you think are currently in the workplace right now?
So I think I already know this, and it seems like so many, and I'm going to say 5.
That is correct. I'm going to pretend you didn't know that, and we'll give you credit for it. Yes, there were totally 5 generations in the workplace. You know, and when you think about the breakdown, what we're kind of looking at that like right now, Generation Z makes up about 10%, and we're going to define these generations for you in a minute. Millennials make up about 40%. Gen X makes up about 33%. Baby boomers, 15%. And our remaining percent, you're going to see from the what would be called kind of the silent or traditional generation.
Awesome. That's really helpful. I definitely did not know that millennials made up that much of the workforce.
I was surprised by that, too.
That's a pretty big chunk. Great. Okay, so let's define these a little bit just so we're all on the same page. The traditionalists, also called the silent generation, those are folks born before 1945. The baby boomers are born between 46 and 65. Gen X is born between 66 and 77. Millennials are born between 1978 and 95. And Gen Z are born after 1995.
Thanks, Megan. So, you know, as we mentioned,
see, I can help you out a little bit here, Brian.
Yeah, yes, you can. Well, I was going to say thank you very much. We mentioned interviewing earlier. So, what we did was selected and not particularly like scientifically.
Nope.
One or more representatives from each generation and asked them the same 5 questions. A previous colleague of mine will call Z represents baby boomers. I'll represent Gen X.
I will represent millennials. And then we also have a sample of 7 of our career connectors who are some student employees here in the Career Center who will represent Gen Z. So do you want to get started?
Absolutely. You know, just to get us in the mood for generational thinking, Megan, if you had to guess, which generation do you think use the popular slang term groovy?
I'm going to say Gen X. Just I feel like that originated in the 70s, but maybe boomers because they were older in the 70s.
It was boomers.
I don't know.
Was boomers. Okay. Don't make me that old. Yeah, it was boomers. yes, groovy was a boomer term.
I feel like I use that term. Has that come back around or I'm just that not cool?
No, it's coming back around. Okay, so let's take a look at question 1. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Number 1, Megan. What do you expect or want? What did you or do you expect or want from your first job post-college?
Yeah, so I was kind of reflecting on this and thinking, what did I expect? I don't know if I am a typical millennial, but I think I was. I did want something that I felt passionate about. And that I felt connected to and wanted to stay in for a while. So that's probably not the millennial response necessarily, but, and maybe it is, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I had a job for a while working in banking as my first true job out of college, knew I didn't want that. So then went to grad school and got into education and, you know, that landed me in higher ed, because I was looking for more of that connection to what I was excited about and passionate about.
That sounds great. And I think that does, when we talk about millennials, some of the things we were seeing, at least in the research, is finding something that fits for you, right? That work is kind of a means to an end for that passion and something that you really want to do. So I think that totally makes sense.
Cool. Great.
Yeah. When I talked to Z, representing kind of our baby boomer generation, he kind of said that, you know, the first job was the next step. So it was just kind of expected, I think, which fits with some of the things that you look at out in the research. And the other thing he said that was really important, which I found a little bit later looking some stuff up, was it had to be like an ideological match. I guess with baby boomers, one of the things I was reading is that you really want to find something that fits your values and ideology so that when you commit to it, you're kind of committing for the long term. And then I know for myself, first job after college was like a postdoc. So I finished part of like an internship, and that was all about like finishing out some training and doing some stuff I haven't done before. So it was kind of to refine and challenge, which when I was looking up some stuff on Gen Xers, there was that piece there about like, hey, looking for your first job to be challenging and kind of push you. So I guess that fits.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then what would you say, if you had to kind of guess, what do you think Gen Z would say with this one?
Right. So these are people who are kind of just entering the workforce.
They are, right?
Within the past few years. I guess I would think it would be more of a fluid situation, right? Where their expectation probably isn't that they're going to stay in a job for 20 years. It might be that they want to move around within a company. It might be that they want to switch companies, but just a little more fluid would be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think on the, so we had 7 students respond, right? And I think that was a big part of it. There was like 2 things that we saw. Number one, they wanted to make sure that they could find something that did offer flexibility, that would fit with their training, but that also offered like some more opportunities for training. So there was almost this sense of like, this is a stepping stone, right? I want to get out there. I want to feel comfortable. I want to make sure I know what I'm doing, and then I'll kind of go from there.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
So I wonder if we could jump to our second question.
Okay.
So if we take a look at question 2, what kind of relationship do you expect to have with your coworkers? That was the second question we asked everybody.
Okay. Yeah, for myself, I've always looked to coworkers as people I'm, you know, am friends with. I feel like in every workplace I've been in, my coworkers have been my friends. Not that we're necessarily spending a ton of time outside of work together, but especially within the context of a working day, that we're not just having conversations only about work, that we're sharing about things that are happening in our lives. We know each other's, you know, kids' names, or, you know, we know it's who somebody lives with, you know, we know what their interests are and what they're into. And we talk about, you know, good TV and things like that, things that we're into. So that would be my expectation. What about you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest. Like when it was first kind of finding a job, it was like, I'm looking for a job. But then after kind of working with folks who have become like friends and who I really enjoy, like not just talking about work, I don't think I'd want to go back. So I think when I think about coworkers, yeah, it would be people that I can be friendly with and have like, get to know about their family and feel connected, because you spend so much time at work.
For sure.
It was a little different when I talked to Z about from our baby boomer generation. I said, what did you expect? And he said, well, I really wanted to work with people that worked as hard as I would, and there were no shenanigans. They would just get things done. So which totally fits for knowing Z pretty well. But yes.
Yeah, I also have met this anonymous Z, and that word shenanigans makes total sense.
Yes. You know, if you had to guess for like our Gen Z or our student sample, what do you think they said when they had to answer this question?
Oh, gosh. I guess I would say similar to my response, that they would expect some friendships.
They did.
Kind of developing.
Yeah, yeah, 6 out of 7. Okay. Right. 6 out of 7
okay,
said,
yeah,
I would like friends. And really, not that you don't need friends, but yeah, 6 out of 7, they would expect friendships. And then honestly, 5 out of 7 talked about like more than just kind of like general collegial. They would like to have a deeper connection.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes.
Nice. Good.
So if we take a look at question 3, so question 3, we asked everybody, how long do you expect to stay in your first job post-college? And Megan, if you had to guess, what do you think our students said?
I would guess they would say not a super long amount of time, kind of going back to my fluidity response, that they'd find something they were excited about, but it didn't have to be the be-all, end-all, perfect position, which is funny now that I'm saying that out loud, because that's often what I do say to students when I'm working with them as a career advisor, saying your first job doesn't have to be this perfect position. So maybe they're already in alignment with me on that. But what were the responses?
They were very much that. Okay. Many of them said they would see it as 2 to 3 years. But they wanted to be invested and basically learn from it and potentially advance. But with the idea that after a couple of years that this would be more of a stepping stone.
Okay.
So yeah, I think they are definitely in alignment with some of the things y'all have been talking about.
Nice. And what about you? What did you expect?
For myself, and I think this is where we see a little bit of some of the bigger differences too. I think I kind of figured once I found that first job for a while, I don't know that I thought that far ahead other than I'd been in school for so long. I wanted to kind of set down some roots for a while. So I kind of figured first job and then I'll dive in and see where it goes. But I had probably assumed that 5, 6, 7 years, and it's been longer than that. It's been like 13 now. So, I think that was my kind of expectation. And I think when I talked to Z kind of about his ideas, his thought too was like, you get in, you do your work and you advance. So I think there was like a really strong kind of like company loyalty thing kind of going on too that he talked about, but needing to connect with where he's at. He's like, if I didn't appreciate what they were doing, which did happen at a couple of his jobs, he's like, then I was done.
And he was done. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You just wonder how much like the economic climate contributes to that as well, in addition to just how much the world of work changes now, how quickly the world of work changes, and how, obviously 2020 was a year that perfectly shows that, because
absolutely,
we all went from working entirely. I mean, so many of us went from working entirely in person to entirely virtual, and these students who are in college right now, these Gen Z members, they're going to have that recollection of, oh, I needed to be able to switch to my online classes in a second and still perform at the same level. So I'm sure they'll be able to kind of take that adaptability then to their next roles as well once they graduate.
You know, what's interesting, like one of the articles I was reading was talking about, like, and this is before this pandemic hit, they called Gen Z our career multitaskers. Right? Like those that can kind of look at things and basically be adaptable to put together things that work really well.
And yeah, I don't know if I really responded to that question as a millennial. I like to think of myself as adaptable, but I also get real nice and comfy and kind of like the comfort of what I'm doing as well.
Yeah.
So maybe I kind of straddle the two a little bit.
That makes sense.
Awesome. Okay. So are we on to number 4?
We are.
Are we there already?
Yeah.
Okay. So question 4, what are your biggest worries about starting your first job after college? So yeah, I think a lot of my worries were often the things that weren't even necessarily a part of the job. It was kind of all those other pieces that went along to life outside of college, right? But I think I also had pretty high expectations. You know, I was always a pretty devoted student and I liked getting good grades. So I think I kind of translated that to the work environment as well. Like, I have to do really well and it's not good to be criticized and that sort of thing, even though, shoot, like, you should criticize me and then I can grow and get better. So I think, you know, that would be a little bit of my perspective there.
Well, I think that's great. It's interesting because I think that really fits with kind of what I was thinking too. Like when I started, was being able to perform and kind of adapt from like being that, like you said, dedicated student who knows how to bust it and do well in school and keep up with everything. And then how do you translate that to the world of work? Right. And, and then I remember thinking at some point too, like there's a different balance there, right? With school, you knew how to have your work-life balance and your school-life balance. And when it's strictly your job, I think those are some of my biggest fears that I didn't really even know about until probably 6 months into the job when you realize, like, mm-hmm. hey, maybe something's not working quite right, or this isn't what's going on.
Exactly. What about for Z?
Z talked about really wanting to kind of, like, his biggest fears were not meeting his high expectations, having others get in the way of him meeting his high expectations. and then also really setting roots. I think for him too, like, he had gone into kind of like extended education, so wanting to kind of start mm-hmm. life a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Great. If you just thinking about our students, where do you think they fell for this one?
Oh, goodness. What worries they might have. I'm wondering if some of their responses were more just, their worries would be, will my company still be around? You know, will I be at a place that I can have some longevity or not? I don't know. I think I would be somewhat jaded coming from, you know, gosh, like the 2008 economic crisis. I can't even think of how old they would have been then, but they definitely lived through it. And maybe saw their families struggle, and then to see a pandemic, and, you know, from there, yeah, I would have some worries, you know, as they're looking around and seeing businesses close and things like that. So I guess that would be my first thought.
Yeah, I think it's a great one. There were two themes. And the first really was that, like, what's the next step? So if I find this job, like, is there job security and stability, and what else do I need to be thinking about? And then mm-hmm. the second theme that we kind of saw was, will I have enough training, and can I get continued training on the job? So there seems to be this idea that, like, school is a stepping stone, right? And that when I get into the world mm-hmm. of work, are they going to continue mm-hmm. to train me so I'm ready for that job too?
That's great. I like that. I think that's a great thing to want to know more about as you're going into a new job. Yeah, that's smart.
I do too. All right, well, that takes us to our last question already.
All right.
And it was, do you expect to move up in pay or responsibilities in your first job post-college? And I can share, like, we'll jump to Z for a second. I think his thing, he said yes, but not for some time. I think there was kind of this idea that it's going to take some time, I'm going to work, and that will just kind of naturally happen. And I think for myself, it was probably a little bit more of a similar but accelerated, like, it will take some time, but then I want to be a little bit intentional about that at some point, right? But I hadn't really thought too much mm-hmm. about it in the first couple years.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree with you for myself. I don't think I necessarily had that as a value.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the career field I chose, right?
Good point.
Working in education, it's not the same as working for a corporation where there's a clear structure and ladder. But yeah. So did our students have some more expectations to kind of move
they
up
did.
A little bit
six
more
out
quickly?
Of seven said yes. Right.
Okay.
Within those two.
Yeah.
Three,
so
they really did.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting because I think there's that sense of maybe it's that career multitasker. Maybe it's this idea that I have a lot of adaptable skills. So I would like to go in and have mm-hmm. some control over what I do. And then if you mm-hmm. put that in place with this idea that those in Gen Z talked about, I'd like to be somewhere 3 years and then jump, you almost can kind of start to paint this picture as, like, I want to learn something for a year, advance, continue to learn, then I want to continue to learn somewhere else, right? That this is going to have some meaning and I'm going to keep creating it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. Great. Did we cover everybody?
I think we
there?
Did. We hit five questions in four generations in about 20 minutes.
And sorry, I guess, to all you traditionalist podcast listeners out there born before 1945. I don't know how many of those we'll have, but hopefully you're not offended that we didn't interview you.
Yes.
Your generation.
But if you do reach out to us, we'll do our best to.
We would love to do a follow up. That would be.
Yes, it would. Well, thanks, everyone. And, you know, one of the interesting things, I think, is we kind of just reflect back on these interviews. And one thing that a lot of the literature said two big things. Number one, there are definitely differences. You see those, right? But there's a heck of a lot more similarities than there are differences amongst the generations. So some of those may be more personal, some of them personality. One of the things they said is sometimes we see the biggest differences is based on, like, world situations. Right, or a lifetime situation. So all four of the generations we talked the most about all valued salary and compensation, inspirational colleagues, and being challenged. And they mm-hmm. just said basically the order in which they valued those kind of shifted based on the generations or also whatever is kind of going on in the world if there's like a big event. So,
sure. So, yeah, right. I mean, I think, you know, we think about our workplace right now. We've all kind of rallied around this similar pandemic, right? Like we're all experiencing this together. Yeah. So I would imagine our similarities kind of, you see that more in kind of these moments of crisis and things like that. So maybe that's even a mindset to think about moving forward into a job that, yeah, we can find those common places. And I think it helps to know maybe where people are coming from, but never to really make an assumption.
Exactly. Yeah, and one of the things, I think my last thing to kind of say with that would be one of the things that was said was think about that everyone's got something to teach you, right? And that you've got something you can kind of teach them.
That.
And so
mm-hmm.
keeping in mind that their skills may not be the same as yours, but that doesn't mean that you can't evolve, right? And work mm-hmm. with that. So I found out there's bigger things than clip art, right? There's other ways to animate. And that was not a skill as a Gen Xer I ever knew I could surpass.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm glad you've moved beyond the clip art. That's great.
Thank you.
Go,
thank
Brian.
You, Megan.
Way to go. So, yes, thank you, Brian, for sharing all your perspectives and knowledge on that topic. Thank you to all of our participants, our students who jumped in and answered these questions for us, to Z, who did that for us so that we could really have some good responses here to kind of cover all our generations. So, anything else for today,
Brian?
I
don't think so. Just I would echo what you said. Thank you for everyone for jumping in. And if there are follow-up thoughts or anything like that or questions that you would like us to ask, let us know because this was a fun exploration. We'd be glad to do it again as we look at generations.
Absolutely. I think a generations part two could definitely be coming down the road. So yes, give us your feedback. All right. Thanks so much to everyone for listening today. And we hope you tune into a future episode soon.